The laws associated with Section 408 allow you to do all kinds of things. A Section 408 trust is something that you know as an IRA. An IRA is a really neat thing. And if it's a Roth IRA, that's a really neat thing, because are taxes going to go up or are taxes going to go down? Well, which one's better, a Roth IRA or a regular IRA? Let's look at it. Look at the chart in the materials. We're going to assume that you've got a 25% tax bracket and you can put your $5,000 into an IRA. Well, if it's a traditional IRA, it goes in, you get a tax deduction, so you've really got $5,000 that you can put into your IRA. If it's a Roth IRA, though, you've got to pay the tax. So you don't have a full $5,000 to stick into the IRA. You've only got $3,750. Well, just for fun, we're going to assume a 10% growth rate on this. We're just using round numbers here, all right? So if I have a 10% growth rate and I grow both the standard IRA and the Roth IRA for 20 years, in the standard IRA, I've got more money because I had more money growing, $30,580. In the Roth IRA, I don't have as much because I didn't start with as much. I've only got $22,935. Ah, yes, but when I take the money out of the standard IRA, I have to pay tax on it. So when I pay tax on the money out of the standard IRA, I end up with a grand total of $22,935. The funny thing is, that's the exact same amount that I can take out of my Roth. When I take it out of my Roth, there's no tax. So I get $22,935. Same number. There's an assumption here, though, that's wrong. What is it? You're assuming that the tax rate was 25% when you put the money in, and it's 25% when you take the money out. Well, from our history chart, we know that taxes are probably going to be going up. So that makes the Roth IRA extremely valuable to you. The tax tip is use a Roth IRA. Actually, that's not the total tax tip. By the way, start a Roth IRA for your kids. Because even if you only have a little bit of money in your IRA, we can do lots of interesting things with it. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in businesses. You can invest in all sorts of stuff other than the standard mutual funds that your financial guy is going to line you up with. And if I've got a child and I've got $5,000 in that Roth IRA during his lifetime, I can make a lot of money for him. You need to teach your kids, and you need to learn about an IRA. I was driving with a guy the other day, and he had a brand new car. And I knew the guy, and he didn't have a lot of money. And I said, gee, where'd you get the money to buy the car? And he said, I took the money out of my IRA. The guy wasn't of age, which meant he paid the tax and the penalty, and he bought his car. And I just absolutely cringed, because that $20,000 car in reality cost that man over $100,000. You can put the numbers to it, guys. IRA money is sacred, and you need to know that, and your children need to know it. Here's the tax tip. When you die, make certain that your children understand IRAs. They do not take the money out of the IRA and go to Hawaii. They leave the money in the IRA, and they do what's called stretch the IRA. You can roll the 401k into an IRA, and then the kids can stretch it over their lifetime. They get an inherited IRA. If they inherit the IRA and they leave the money in the IRA, then it's going to grow without the tax over their lifetime. Yeah, there are rules. They've got to take required minimum distributions and a bunch of stuff, but they can leave the money in and it grows. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars over their lifetime, even with a very moderate IRA or 401k. You've figured out that your IRA is a big deal. Remember, it grows, the dollar doubled 20 times. That's growing without the tax. So it is a big deal. People are doing interesting things with their IRAs these days. They're buying real estate. They're doing all sorts of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is you need to have a self-directed IRA guy who will let you do all of the stuff. And unfortunately, most of these IRA self-directed guys, the only thing they're interested in is how much money they've got under management. They will let you do absolutely anything. There are dozens and dozens of self-directed IRA trustees, and they say you can have checkbook authority over your IRA. As soon as you hear the words checkbook authority, you run the other way. These guys have you set up an LLC. They have the IRA buy the membership interest in the LLC. Then you conduct your business, you buy real estate, whatever it is you do with this LLC, and all of the profit goes back to the IRA. Well, in the meantime, the IRA has bought all of the stock or membership interests in the LLC, so the IRA money is really in the LLC. You're the manager of the LLC. To spend your IRA money, all you have to do is write a check. Checkbook authority. This is highly illegal. It isn't going to work. They cite the law bad. Don't do it, guys. Let me give you a tax tip for the future. Let's talk about non-qualified plans for 2 seconds. These are not ERISA plans, but they're retirement plans. In an ERISA plan, yeah, it's qualified, but you have to worry about the discrimination. All the employees have to participate. You can only put a limited amount of money each year into the plan. And as a little business guy, if you are making a lot of money, you want to put as much money away as you can every year. And of course, there are all the restrictions. You can't take the money out until you're age 59 and a half, and then you stand on your head and swing your leg around, and you have to take required minimum distributions, all this stuff. I mean, blah, 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 blah. Let's do a non-qualified plan. You can put as much money as you want into a non-qualified plan every year, and the employees don't have to participate. There aren't any age restrictions. There are no required minimum distributions, and you're going, man, this sounds great. Well, the problem is you have to do it with an after-tax dollar. But wait, you got to do a Roth IRA with an after-tax dollar. The short story is we can make a non-qualified plan absolutely mimic a Roth IRA. You don't get a tax deduction for putting the money in, but you can take the money out tax-free. That's a pretty good deal, guys. Now, I'm going to say a dirty word. Hang on to your chair. A non-qualified plan is a cash value life insurance policy. And everybody just gagged. And I'm going to agree with you. 98% of these plans are garbage. Not because the laws aren't there, not because it doesn't work, but because the life insurance companies, how do I say this politely, screw you? If you're setting up a non-qualified plan, you've got to look at the cost of insurance. That's the fly in the ointment. That's the difference between this and a Roth IRA. How much does the insurance cost? Now, when you're doing this, you want minimum life insurance, so you have minimum cost. You want maximum to go into the savings. The insurance agent doesn't get paid on what you put into savings. They only get paid on what you put into life insurance. So if you're going to put $1,000 a month into the plan, they're going to structure it so you put $800 into the insurance and $200 into the savings. That's not what you want. You want $200 into the insurance and $800 into the savings. But then they don't make any money. There are a lot of things you have to know if you're going to do a non-qualified plan so that you don't get hosed. Make certain that you get what is called guideline premium. There will be a place on the illustration that they run for you that says guideline premium. If that's not what you're getting, one, you know you're getting hosed. The second place you get hosed is the cost of borrowing. What you're going to do is you're going to put the money into the life insurance. It's going to grow tax deferred, tax free over the years, and then you're going to borrow the money back out. If you borrow the money, there is no tax because it's not income, it's borrowed money. And there are a bunch of rules and stuff that we've got to follow here, but just play along with me for a minute. You borrow the money back out, no tax. You spend it. When you die, the life insurance pays all of the money back, plus we hope a little to the family. But the bottom line is you now have basically a Roth IRA that you put as much money into every year as you want. Yes, you do have to buy some insurance, otherwise it's what's called a MEC, a modified endowment contract, and we can get real complicated here and I can snow you very quickly. But that's not the issue. I said borrowing was a big deal. How do you borrow it back out? And your insurance agent's going to put his arm around you and he's going to say, well, it only costs you 1% to borrow your money back. And then he's going to say, well, where could you get a loan for 1%? My answer to that is, yeah, but it's my money. You need to have a contract which promises you in writing a zero wash loan. You don't pay any interest. Actually, you pay interest, but they pay you back interest, so it's a zero wash. A lot of the companies will say, our practice is a zero wash. Well, I don't give a damn about your practice. I want to see it in contract in writing. And there are only a couple of those that are doing this. We have read hundreds of insurance contracts in this office. I know, that's sick. But there's a lot of money on the line, and you got to read the contract and understand it. But these non-qualified plans are neat. If you do die and don't cash in on your retirement, the family gets the life insurance. They are basically made whole. It's actually a good deal if it's done right. Insurance companies have huge lobbies in Washington, D.C. Like it or not, insurance, life insurance, is a sweetheart of the IRS code. If you know how to use it, you can make a lot of money.